Hello and welcome to the Thursday, February 27th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from San Francisco, California. We got a guest diary today by Dylan Johnson. He's writing about log analysis, and the reason I kind of liked this diary when he showed it to me was that he pretty much implements a complete sort of log management and search architecture using nothing but open source software. So if you are thinking about implementing your own kind of log management system, take a look at all the tools that Dylan is introducing in this diary. He's giving some specific advice on configurations, but really, to me at least, very valuable was just to get a list of all the tools that are involved in a system like this. And by the way, we're trying to have a little bit more of these guest diaries from time to time. If you have a proposal, send me a quick abstract or outline, whatever you have, and we can talk whether or not that's appropriate. Pretty much anything that sort of fits the format of the diaries that you're seeing could potentially work as a guest diary. But then, of course, today I spent here at the RSA conference in San Francisco and had the pleasure to give a presentation with Ed Skotis and Alan Pollard about the top most dangerous attacks that we are seeing right now. And I want to just briefly summarize what we spoke about. Ed started out with some of the nation-state attacks and attribution issues that, of course, arise from these attacks. But one thing I found particularly interesting that he mentioned was the idea of offensive forensics. Now, what he's talking about here is that attackers may use methods that you're used to from forensics in order to exfiltrate data. Traditionally, attackers were just blindly, more or less, exfiltrating data as much as they can, but of course, that makes it more likely that they're being detected. What offensive forensics means is that the attacker will run some kind of tool on the host that is being attacked to only extract the data that's actually of value to the attacker. So a lot of the filtering, the searching and such is done before the exfiltration happens, using pretty much the same tool that any forensic analyst would use as part of handling an incident. The other issue that Ed was talking about was the increasing probability of actually having some form of kinetic effect of cyber attacks. So having actual damage done in the physical world, and he mentioned a couple of examples where this already happened. And then from a defensive point of view, Ed was also talking about something that he developed called Cyber City. Cyber City is essentially, well, a model train set for better work of it, but it's an 8x6 foot, I believe, model city that is scaled down, but instrumented like a real city from a cyber perspective. So you will find, for example, a power distribution network that does use the same controllers that you would find in your city. You do find things like military installations and, well, a coffee shop with Wi-Fi that can all be remote controlled. But the actual effects of the attacks are visible in this model, and camera images of the actual little model city are then fed back to the attacker or the defender, and Ed walked through a couple of scenarios that can be set up to teach people cyber defense. I was talking about some of the advances that we have seen recently with the DNS denial of service attacks. You may have heard me talk about this in the past, in particular where some of the reflective DNS attacks are now somewhat more intelligent. At least we have seen some of them. Now, for most of the big attacks that you still hear about in the news, the techniques are not necessarily used yet. They still have enough open recursive DNS servers to actually not require some of the more advanced techniques, but we definitely have seen targeting off DNS servers using records for which they're authoritative for. So that would, for example, even work against properly configured authoritative name servers. And then, of course, the use of some more effective DNS queries, like for example any queries, but also the use of eDNS 0 to solicit larger DNS responses. Secondly, I was then talking about password hashing and how some of our traditional model here just no longer works, given the advances in hardware to crack passwords and how you really have to be careful how you implement it. But even more so, you have to stay flexible and you have to be able to update your hashing algorithms and such in the future, which is a real pain in the way current applications are designed. Now, then of course, how do you fix the problem fundamentally? Two-factor authentication, rely less on passwords. But with that, and that was sort of the final thread I talked about, the increasing incidence of mobile malware that in particular tries to target some of these soft tokens and such that you do have on mobile devices. Well, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.